Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We start our summer sermon series, Postcards for Life, this morning. We will look at the last chapter of each one of the Apostle Paul's letters. We'll start this Sunday with Romans 16. When we write a postcard, we only have room to write what's really important. This is what Paul does with Romans 16. He tells us four things are important in our lives: people, protection, promises, and praise. I love Romans 16:20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. It may look like Satan is winning in our world today, but God promises that he will be defeated and we will take part in that victory over our spiritual enemy. Don't lose heart. We see by Romans 16 that everyone serving in God's kingdom is valued and noticed. Paul names over 20 people personally just from the Roman church. What would he say about each one of us and our service to the church? The fellowship of the church is vital. Look at what Paul says in Romans 1, verses 11 and 12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That is part of what happens when we fellowship and worship together. We mutually encourage one another. We see each other's faith. We give hugs and encouraging words. When we come to church, we are to give as much as we are to receive from the worship and fellowship. May God bless you with his wisdom and glory. Thank you for listening.
Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the kingdom of God, now and forever.
Together. Almighty Creator and ever-living God, we worship your glory, eternal three in one, and we praise your power, majestic one in three. Keep us steadfast in this faith, defend us in all adversity, and bring us at last into your presence, where you live in endless joy and love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Carla Clennon leads our children's time.
Good morning. How are you all? All bright and cheery, like in the sunshine. Oh, cool. So if I ask you, what has God made that you love, what would you say? Mountain Dew, we knew who that come from. Anything? Your dog? Anything outside? Trees? Ducks? Sunshine? Cattle? Grasshoppers? What else? What else has God made that we see every day? Grass? Anything else? Cats? What about flowers? You don't like flowers? Oh, good. Goodness. So, do you play on trees? Climb them? Maybe. You shouldn't climb a tree, but some people do. Okay. So if I ask you to shout out something that praises God, what would you shout out? Is there any instruments that we use that praises God? A what? Violin? Piano? What else? A trumpet. There's a good one. What else? A harp? What about cymbals? Those things that... Does that praise God? Yes, that's all things. So today in our Psalms 50 that Reverend Cobb is going to talk about, we're praising God today. So we praise God with songs of trumpets. We praise Him with harps. We praise Him with tambourines. We praise Him with dancing. We praise Him with string instruments, with flutes. We can all praise God. So I want you to think of things. So I colored a picture. My coloring skills, what do you think? In Psalms 150, verse 6, it says, "Let everything that breathes praise the Lord." So everything that we have outside, everything inside, everything that we play or touch our hands on, it praises God. So let's say a little prayer, and then I have a coloring page for you. Dear God, thank you for the sounds of animals that have made His praise of God. Everything that God has made, from flowers to tigers to stars to humpback whales, to the wind, to the storm, to the crashing ocean waves, to make us joyful noises, praise God. Thank you, God, for making us and the whole beautiful world, God, and us in it. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Amen.
Our special music is sung by Brenda Osterley.
Rise and follow me. I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Peter, John, and James could never be the same after they heard him say, "I'll make you fishers of men." He said, "Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Cast your nets aside and join the battle tide. He will be your guide to make you fishers of men." He said, "Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus bore the cross to gather in the lost. Oh, what a mighty cost to set us free from sin. He said, "Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." He said, "Rise and follow me, I'll make you worthy. Rise and follow me, I'll make you fishers of men."
Our scriptures are read by Brad Frederick, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, "The Human Condition, Created for Praise."
The first scripture lesson is taken from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 7. "A song of praise of David. I will extol thee, my God and King, and bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee and praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty and on thy wondrous works I will meditate. Men shall proclaim the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of thy abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious, and a song of praise is seemingly. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God under the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow upon the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens which cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. Here ends the second lesson.
Thank you, Brad. If you want to turn to Psalms 150, we're going to finish our series on the book of Psalms. We're actually going to cover the last seven. We've seen every emotion. We've seen sadness. We've seen prayers for destruction. We've seen prayers for guidance. We've seen prayers for all kinds of situations. That's why I love the book of Psalms. But he ends it with praise. He's looking back on his life. He's seen all the twists and turns, all the valleys and the mountains, all the struggles, all the delights. And then he looks back and he says, I'm just going to end this book with praise. And in the world that we live in today, it is so negative. It is just filled with negativity. If you concentrate and you just hung around and around certain people and certain TV channels, all you would hear would be negative stuff. And you would think that's what all is going on in the world. But when we look here at these last seven chapters of a Psalms, we see that our life is to be built on praise, as they're an element that we are created to be praised. But I think too many times our lives are like the story that Jesus told of the 10 lepers found in Luke chapter 17. And he says, Now on this way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. All of them were crying to Jesus to be healed. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are all the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I think too many times in our life, this describes a lot of us in this room, myself included, that God has done these great things in our life, but then we just go on about our way thinking it's either ourselves or someone else, and we just live lives without turning and making sure every part of our day we have something in our day that we thank God for. And so we will look here at Psalm 150. He ends with six very short verses and gives us the outline of how praise should be part of our everyday life. Because I don't know about you, but when I get negative criticism, being a preacher, you get that from time to time. Any job you're in, you get some type of criticism back and forth, but you also get positive reinforcement. Those are good too, but I don't know about you, but in my case, it seems the negatives take me a lot lower than the positives take me high. It seems like the negatives stay with me, and I've got to actively do something in my life to draw myself out of that and focus on the things that God wants us to focus on. So how must praise be in our life, and how are we to have it each and every day of our lives? So let's turn to Psalm 150. Follow along with me, and there's a part in your bulletin there that you can write down notes, because I'm going to mention some other scriptures for you to read and take part in your weekly devotion. But we see here in Psalm 150, he's going to answer questions about praise for us. So it says there in Psalm 150, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He gives us there, and then he finishes off the way that he started it. He says, just praise the Lord. He gives us there the where, the when, the why, the how, and the who of praise. So where are we supposed to praise God? Are we just supposed to do it on Sundays in our sanctuary here? We have different men that have talked about the importance of praise. John Calvin said this, the most holy service that we can render to God is to be employed in praising His name. He says that's the most holy service that we can have in our lives. Charles Spurgeon said this, when God is praised, we have come to the ultimatum. That is the thing for which all other things are designed. Since God has breathed into us the breath of life and also breathed into us the breath of spiritual life through the Holy Spirit, part of our being commands us and desires us to give Him praise. So in Psalm 150 here, we see where are we to praise Him. He tells us there in His sanctuary, in His creation, in His mighty heavens. Isaiah 66 talks about that. The heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. You've heard it like I have from many different people that say, you know, I can praise God anywhere. That's true. But there's an energy that comes from us all being together in one place. And I've heard people praise God on the golf course before. I've been out on the golf course. I've heard God's name mentioned many times on the golf course as I've prayed some golf out there. A few years ago, we were at Deer Chase. We were playing a scramble with a group from a church there in Hallsville. And you know how scrambles go. You have your weaker golfers go first, your stronger golfers go last. For some reason, they had me toward the back end because for some unknown reason, they thought I was one of their stronger golfers. That shows you how weak our little group was. But we were facing a second shot at Deer Chase on number 9. Don't know how many people have ever played Deer Chase, but we were playing number 9. The weaker golfers had gone, and they had dubbed it into the water because you had to carry water to get it to the green. The guy behind me, who was supposed to be our strongest golfer, was really struggling that day. And he looked at me, and he said, Russ, he says, I don't think I can do it. This is all up to you. And I remember I got a 6-iron out. It was about 150 yards downhill. And I took a nice, good swing at it. And as soon as I hit it, I heard from behind me, he said, Rob said, God bless you, Brother Russ. He was praising God for a second shot with a 6-iron into a par 4 on number 9 there at Deer Chase. You know, we can praise God anywhere in those things. But we see the beauty and the energy comes from being one together, being united with one another in a sanctuary, praising God together. We saw it last week. I don't know how many people watched the PGA Championship with Phil Mickelson. You know, people were watching. We were watching. He became the oldest person to win a major event at age 50, which means I still have hope. I'm still working on that. But he said, you know, that, and all of a sudden you see the crowd on 18. They all just swarmed. We saw the same thing when Tiger won the Masters a couple years ago. People were just swarming because there's something that comes with being as part of a crowd and being part of something that's a majesty. People want to be together, and there's an energy that comes from being joyful and exciting. We see it in Revelation chapter 7. He talks about all the different tribes. Is my voice going out, Ronnie? It sounds like my mic's going out a little bit. I hate to do that, but it sounds like it's going out on me. But there's an energy that we see in Revelation chapter 7. It talks about all the tribes, all the people gathered. You can't count them all, but there's amazing that they all come together. And they praise God and they bring with them their joy. We saw it when the 1980, the Miracle on Ice with our hockey team. There's an energy about praising God together and being one. I remember I played basketball in high school and the pep band would play. And man, it seemed like you could jump higher, you could play longer, you could do all kinds of things when the pep band was playing. And what the writer of this psalm is saying to us is that there's an energy, that there's something special about us when we gather together to praise God. But he tells us that when we praise God together, that we can praise Him wherever we are, but we praise to God together as a sanctuary, as a body, because there's an energy and excitement that comes from it. But then he also tells us there in the second verse, the why of praising God. Why should we praise God? Look at verse 2 again. He says, praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. We look at there and he tells us that all the great things that God had done and the people were good about reciting all the historical things that had happened in the Old Testament. We hear from Noah, we hear from Joseph, we hear from Abraham, all the great things, all the mighty acts that he's done. Because when we put the focus on God, we don't put the focus any longer on ourselves and the negativity that surrounds us. He tells us to tell the next generation. We see in Psalm 147,
that tells the next generation about them. In Psalm 145, verse 4, he says, "One generation commends your work to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of your glorious splendor, of your majesty, and I will meditate on your work all day long." And then you skip down to verse 11. "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." One of the reasons that we praise God together is that we tell others about the great things that God has done in our lives. The times when we were struggling, He lifted us. The time that He provided people at just the right time that we needed it. The times that God showed patience in our life. And that we are to let our children and the grandchildren see us praise God so we can pass those things on to the next generation. We remember God's mighty acts in our lives so people can know that God is a real God, a true God, and a loving God. Think about the stories that the disciples told one another as they sat around the fire at night, and they told their families, "You won't believe this. We were feeding. We only had a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, and we fed 5,000 people. It just kept coming out of the basket." There was a time we were on the boat, and He started walking across the water. He raised a dead man from, that had been in the tomb for 4 days. What great things has God done in your life that you tell others about? What mighty acts do you praise God for that He's done in your life? The time that He was there, maybe when you were close to doubting and walking away from your faith, and someone came in and they gave you the encouragement that you needed at just the right time. Father or a mother or a grandparent that instilled their faith in you, or a co-worker that needed an encouragement. The reason that we praise God is to tell future generations to know the greatness of God in our lives. Paul saw this when he was in jail with the Philippian jailer, when he was on the boat that was shipwrecked. He could tell of the majesty that even when the storms came, God provided with him and gave him the encouragement that he needed. Matthew Henry said this, "Be not afraid of saying too much in the praises of God, all the dangers of saying too little." But when do we praise God? Do we just wait till Sunday mornings for a little point when we sing a couple hymns? Is that the only time that we start to praise God? Is it just this little finite time, or maybe during the prayer time when we ask for prayer and praises that we praise God? Look again at what it says in 145 and Psalm 146. He says, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever." In verse 2, "Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever." And then Psalm 146, verse 2, "I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live." It means we praise God no matter if it's in the storms of life. And we've had a lot of people in our congregation going through the storms of life right now. They've lost a parent. They've lost a brother. They've lost a spouse. And it's hard to praise God because of the storm. I praise God that He's been with me through the storm. And that's what he's saying right here. No matter what the situation is, if it's the highest high or the lowest low, I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to make a list that in those deepest, darkest times, I'm going to remind myself of the greatness and the goodness of God. Paul, when he was in prison, we hear him singing songs of praises. And we see people that have gone through struggles, and Satan starts to lull us into thinking that someone else is responsible for the goodness of the things in our life. Satan wants to lull us into taking for granted the things that God has blessed us with. You know, it's easy to be negative. We've all been around people. Sometimes I'm that person that all they can talk about is negative things. They bring up 30 years ago when their cousin stepped on their toe or they scratched their car, and still 30 years, they're still talking about it. Or they talk about all the negative things that happened throughout the day, or the things that have been in the newspaper, the things that are happening in the community. Everything is negative. I was visiting with a lady one time, and I just kind of stopped her, and I just said, "Hey, could we concentrate on just 5 positive things that have happened to you in your life? Can you list those things?" And I'm going to challenge you this week to make that one of the things that you do. Make yourself a top 5, a top 10 list of praises of God. They can include things from your past victories that you know God was there and helped you through. It could be current things. It could be something that happened today. And also it can include the future things that you know God has got your future, your eternity taken care of. And that's what I'm holding on to see my faithful loved ones again. But make that faithful, that top 5, top 10 of praises that you can always go back to help you when we need to praise God for all the things going on in our life. And then finally, at the end of Psalm 150, he gives us the who and the how of praise. Who is to praise God? Look what he says there in verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This morning before church at Salem, I was standing there as a robin at the very top of the steeple on top of the cross, and he was singing to his heart's content, just as robins do. And it reminded me of how great thou art, and remembered me this, you know, this verse right here. It says, Psalm 144, that God had trained David's hands for and his fingers for battle and for war. We're all trained for different things. But no matter what we have our hands trained to do, and he gives us a list of all the things that we are to praise God with, basically whatever we have, wherever we're at, we are to praise God with whatever God has blessed us with. We can praise God no matter where we're at. The teacher, the farmer, the driver, the mechanic, you know, all the ones that we have in our midst right here, we can praise God every single day of our life with the things that he has blessed us with. Because you may not be able to play an instrument. We're real blessed to have all different pianists in our midst, all kinds of singers, all kinds of talented individuals. But he tells us there that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. That means if you can't even play an instrument, you can still put on your lips, on your tongue, the praises of God himself. Because what does God delight in? What makes God happy? Is it the things that we've accumulated, all the collections of stuff that we have? Betty and I went antiquing again yesterday, looking for certain treasures in different places. You know, we saw some neat little things. One of the guys said, "You're not taking enough with you. You need more stuff." I said, "No, that's not my problem. I don't need more stuff." Is God interested in all the accomplishments that we've had? All the things that we've done through school, all the baskets we made, all the tackles we made, all the awards that we received? Look what again he says in verse 10 and 11 of Psalm 147. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. And then again in Psalm 149, for the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be on their mouths. Hey, he cares about what we're doing, and I think he gives a polite clap. You know, that's really good, Russ. I'm really glad that you've taken care of this, that, and the other. I'm glad you've got these things. I'm glad you've got this and that. But then what really gets him on the edge of his seat, when he really looks down and gets excited, is when we address him personally. We say, "Thank you, God. I praise you for the great and wonderful things, the mercies you've shown me, the new creation you've made me. You've taken me from this place and put me here. You secured my future." That's when God takes thought. It's not in the strength of your horse. It's not in the car that you drive. It's not in the legs of all the physical accomplishments you had. It's when you put your faith into action and you start to love others and you start to love him. So what's some takeaways we can bring with us today? Praise takes our mind off of our troubles and it focuses on others and God. It takes us out of the self-pity bit to worry about all that. And we've got lots of struggles and we need to worry. We need to have people that can pray for us. But when we start to do that, it will begin to eliminate bitterness and sadness that start to overrule and ruin our life. Praise leads us to group worship, wanting to be together and experience that excitement and that joy that comes from being united in the Holy Spirit. Praise helps us appreciate God's character and help us focus on heavenly things and helps us be able to receive God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit. I know you've got a lot of things on your mind. I'm going to ask you for just the next minute to just eliminate all those things from your mind. The things that are being planned for supper, all the family events, all the things you've got on your schedule, maybe the vacation plans that you've got lined out. Maybe you're leaving right after church to head on vacation. Put all those things out of your mind for just 1 minute and just fill your mind with the goodness and the greatness of God. May those top two or three things on your list that you want to praise God for, thank you, God, for the family that I have. Thank you, God, for sending that person in my life to spread the gospel into my heart, that person that invited me to church first time. Thank you for that person. And Father, thank you for the promise of eternity with you. I remember when the disciples saw first time Jesus when he transfigured, they got an eyewitness of who they were following. You know, God, give me that vision in my mind to praise you for that. And when we start to do that each and every day, you know what happens? Those worries start to fade. They're still there, but they're not going to rule my life like they've been ruling it right now. When we are hurting, when we're discouraged, when we're questioning, maybe doubting, turn your mind to the book of Psalms. Turn it to the Gospels to see Jesus in all of his power and all of his majesty. And remember, read those seven Psalms this week. Can you give God praise for him being your Savior in your life? Have you made that decision? If you're not, let's get together. But thank God for his praise. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his grace.